Well, if you will, go ahead and open your Bibles to the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Today we are going to bring our Thanksgiving series to a conclusion. Isaiah chapter 35 is what we have been focusing upon with a series entitled A Highway in the Desert. And so today, as we focus upon this highway, our emphasis is going to be upon the idea that at the end of this highway, there is God. And so I pray that you'll be blessed as we turn to the Word of God today. You know, my family, we've always had this season where at Thanksgiving we will make our way around the table and everyone will share what they are thankful for. Last year, you'll recall that we had the pumpkins, and every family received one of those pumpkins, and we challenged you to take those home with a marker and write upon those pumpkins the things that you were thankful for. This year, we replaced it with some jars and some cards, and we want you to take a special time to indicate the things for which you are thankful. Well, we were so blessed by what we did last Thanksgiving that we had a pumpkin this year. And when all of my family gathered together, we took that pumpkin and we passed it around the table, and everyone would write on there the things that they were thankful for. And of course, you can imagine that everyone was thankful for much of the same thing, right? The grace of God toward us in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for a family. We're thankful for kids. We're thankful for being able to live in a place where we can freely worship God. We're grateful for all of these things. And you've heard throughout our Thanksgiving testimonies throughout this month about how many were thankful for those things. But, you know, as we move toward the end of Isaiah chapter 35, there's something in here that I think we as well ought to be thankful for. And that is what I want to share with us today. And it is this. We ought to be thankful that the road that each one of us is upon, and every one of us is walking a journey of life. We ought to be thankful that if you know the Lord as your Savior, that that road upon which you are walking daily, you're on it when you woke up today. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to be on that same road tomorrow. You ought to be thankful that upon that road is the providence of God that is leading you to be a person of holiness. Now think about what that means for just a moment. Every road has three things that are in that are related to one another. Every single road has these three different elements. Number one is the origin. Number two is the destination. And number three is the journey. When we would travel from Azle to Pampa, we travel the road of 287. If you were to travel this road, we call this Jacksboro Highway. And Jacksboro Highway indicates, depending on which direction you're going, its destination or its origin. And what lies between the destination and the origin is the journey. Now, to be on a highway of holiness, a highway in the desert, a highway that is leading to holiness indicates this, that the origin is holiness. You say, well, I thought it was quite the opposite. Oh, no, the origin is not with you. The origin is with God. And the destination, or the origin, rather, is this origin that begins with the nature and the character of who God is. And so God plotted this highway for you, and this highway began with God saying, if you'll look upon me, and you'll believe in me, I am going to place you upon this road whose origin is the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if you'll believe in Him, He will place you upon this road of holiness. And your journey begins with God at the origin of God's love for you. The destination. When you get to the end of that road, the destination is going to be the holiness of God, God Himself. And so, no matter where you are as a believer in Jesus Christ, traveling this road, you can know this, that with all of its turns, and all of its hills, and all of its valleys, and all of its difficulties, at the end of that road waits God. What are you going through right now? What are your challenges? What are your difficulties? What are your fears? Stay on the road. At the end of that road is God. But what happens between the origin and the destination is God making you into a person who reflects His own character and nature. And that is why it is called a highway of holiness. Let's look, as we bring Isaiah 35 to a conclusion, let's look at verses 8, 9, and 10. Isaiah chapter 35, beginning at verse 8. The highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. And everlasting joy will be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness, and joy, and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Lord, I pray that You would give us today the ability to understand and to comprehend this text. And Father, as we do so, may it be applied to our lives so that if we are in need of correction, You would bring to us correction. If we are in need of guidance, You would bring to us guidance. If we are in need of comfort, You would bring to us comfort. And this we pray for the glory of Your name in Christ. Amen. You see, I want you to see today primarily that thankfulness is a result of realizing the journey that we are up on. Thankfulness or thanksgiving is a result of realizing the journey that we are upon. You see, we are great at being thankful about the origin, and we are great about being thankful for the destination. We're not always so good about being thankful for the journey. If we're thankful for the origin, we talk about how thankful we are that Jesus has saved us, and you should be thankful that Jesus has saved you. If we're thankful for the destination, then we're thankful for the fact that He's going to take us to be with heaven and you to be with Him in heaven. And you should be thankful that you're going to go to heaven. But we shouldn't just be thankful for the origin, and we shouldn't just be thankful for the destination. We ought to be thankful for the journey. Because it is in the hills and the valleys, the bumps and the flat tires and the running out of gas that God takes us along this journey so that we find ourselves longing more and more and more for His presence with us. Now, your life is filled along this journey with various trials, right? You face the death of loved ones. You face broken relationships. You face fears of the future and regrets for the past. But understand that every single thing that comes into your life, God uses it to bring you to a place where you are more reflective of His divine nature. Namely, that you are more a person of holiness. That's why that verse in Romans 8:28 that we love to quote so much when we go through difficult times, that God works all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. What is God's purpose for your life? God's purpose for your life is that you would be holy. That's why the Old Testament revelation of God to the nation of Israel is, be ye holy as I am holy. And the New Testament writers pick up that exact same thing, and they say, you be holy, even as I am holy. God's purpose for your life is that you would be a person of holiness. Understand this, that God uses the challenges and God uses the victories to make you holy. Now, notice what the text says. That in this desert, in this wilderness, there is going to be a place, there is going to be a highway, and the name of this highway is to be called the Way of Holiness. And within that way of holiness, we see origin. It begins with God. God created the highway. And so when you're traveling over the holidays and you're there on the highway and you see the little men there with the orange vests and there's five of them with tools and one of them who is working and you're saying, I was going 75 miles an hour and now I'm going 45 miles an hour and you're upset that your progress has been slowed, you can think that the origin of that road is that God has created that road and that it is the road of holiness. I probably mixed about seven metaphors there. But its origin is that God has laid the path for you. The way of holiness is that God accompanies you along that path and He brings you to that path. But here's what He says in verse 8. A highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness, but the unclean, they shall not pass over it. What is the unclean? The unclean refers to those who are ceremoniously unclean. That is, they don't observe the Bible's admonitions toward holiness, toward love for God, love for your neighbor. People who are unclean, they don't worship the Lord. They, in the Old Testament, they didn't offer sacrifices of animals. In the New Testament, they don't offer sacrifices of praise. The unclean are those people who do not give their lives over to worship of God. Now, there at the end of verse 8, there's a bit of a challenging way that this is written here. It says in the ESV, even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. Other translations say, they shall not wander on it. The idea here, I think, is that the fool are those who are unbelievers. And I think some translations lose that sense. Here's what he's saying. The fool is not allowed to wander or to journey up on that highway. They're not allowed to be on that highway because a fool does not desire holiness. So if the unclean refers to those who are ceremoniously unclean, the fool refers to those in the Bible who are morally impure. To be a fool in the Bible is not to fear the Lord. That is to live a life that is morally impure. And so He constructs for us this highway, and this highway is like a tollway, except you don't pay the toll. But it's only reserved for those for whom the toll has been paid. You can only travel on this highway if you are A, not unclean, or B, not a fool. The identification of those who walk upon that way is sandwiched right between those two clauses. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it belongs to those who walk in the way. Here's the question for you today. Are you walking in God's way? And the thermometer for that is, are you living a lifestyle that is ceremoniously unclean? You're not worshiping the Lord. You're not loving God. You're not obeying God. Or are you living a life that is defined by the fool? as the fool, rather. You are living an unclean, impure, immoral lifestyle. And neither one of those are allowed to be upon this road, this highway in the desert. He goes on to say about this road in verse 9 that there is not going to be any vicious animals there. There will not be a lion. There shall not be a ravenous beast. They shall not be found there. That is to say that upon this road, there is going to be this protection of God, and ultimately this road, though we experience it as we live in time, it is a road that leads to the eternal place. And in that eternal place, there is not going to be any threat that comes upon your life. Understand this, that as you are upon that road, God is protecting you. Lottie Moon said that she knows, that great missionary, she said that she knows that her life is immortal until God is through with her. Your life is held in God's hand. And God will preserve you until He is finished with you. Isn't that great? You keep walking on the road that God has laid before you. You keep pursuing holiness. You keep pursuing faithfulness to God. And there is not going to come one enemy upon that road who is going to take your life from you. Not outside of God's providence. Now, when December rolls around and we begin to focus on our missionaries, I've already mentioned to you Lottie Moon, you think about what a great, great promise that is to them. You walk upon this road that God has placed before you, and God is going to protect you from every ravenous beast. God is going to protect you from the lion. God is going to protect you from anything coming against you that will prohibit God from accomplishing His work in you, for you, and through you. What a great promise. So you keep serving God where you are and know that God's hand of protection is upon you as you journey in holiness. Now he says those who are going to be there at the end of verse 9 is number one, the redeemed shall walk there. And number two, the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Focus in first of all on that word redeemed at the end of verse 9. The redeemed. What does it mean to say that those who are redeemed? Well, to be redeemed is to be literally delivered from a legal obligation. For you to be one who is redeemed means that you have been set free from a legal obligation that you have. And so, if you come, and to use an illustration I used a few weeks ago, if you come into my home and you steal stuff from my home, and you end up in prison because of what you stole from my home, and then I go and I pay the price for you to be set free, I have redeemed you from your legal obligation. Now here's the problem that you have and I have with sin. It is that we have a legal obligation against a righteous judge, that we have broken His law, and therefore we are imprisoned by His wrath. You have disobeyed Him. You have acted in opposition to Him. You have taken His law and you rejected His law, and therefore you have been imprisoned. Imprisoned to God's wrath, imprisoned to your sin, imprisoned to an eternal separation from God. But to be redeemed means that God paid to have that legal obligation met so that you could be set free from His wrath. Not only the ransom or the redeemed shall walk there, but also the ransomed. The ransomed of the Lord shall return. Well, it's a very subtle difference, but to be redeemed means that you have been purchased from a legal obligation. To be ransomed means that you have been purchased from a cruel taskmaster. One is the idea of legality. The other is the idea of slavery. And so to be a person who has been enslaved to sin or enslaved to the devil, for God to ransom you means that God has set you free from your cruel taskmaster. And here's who your cruel taskmaster is. Number one, it's the world system that fights against everything that is holy, righteous, and noble. Number two, it's the devil. And number three, it's your own sinful nature. And you and I are weaklings in the face of these taskmasters. But for you to be ransomed means that God has set you free from your sin. God has set you free from your sinful nature. God has set you free from the devil. And God has set you free from a world system that stands in opposition to everything that opposes God. And they shall walk there. They shall return. It's the idea of returning. Well, the Isaiah 35 is written in the context of people who have been carried away into captivity. And he's referring them back to the Old Testament Exodus. So the Old Testament Exodus occurs about 1300 B.C. This slavery here that Isaiah is talking about to the Syrians occurs about 700 B.C., about 687 B.C. And so there's about 700 years of history, or a little over 600 years of history, that he is referring back to, where he's saying, listen, God set His people free in the Exodus. God is going to set you free from the Assyrian enslavement. And He's saying to us today, God is going to set you free from the enslavement that you suffer today. And then He emphasizes what is the result of this. Notice what He says at verse 10. They are going to come to Zion with singing. And everlasting joy is going to be upon their heads. And they shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrowing and sorrow and sighing. It is going to flee away. Now continue the analogy of the road that has been placed before us. What is to be the sound that is found upon that road? It is to be the sound of the people of God living life in worship. In worship of who God is. Praising Him. So we get into our cars and we want to turn on the radio, or we want to plug in the iPod and we want to listen to the music and we want to hear all of those things. For us to be believers who are walking upon the highway of desert is for our own voices to fill the road with worship of what God has done. He has redeemed us and He has ransomed us, and our response is to worship Him. And so when Dave stands up here Sunday morning, week in and week out, and we come together in worship. We are singing the song of the redeemed. And the Bible doesn't know of a redeemed person who does not sing. I challenge you, find it. On this road, we cannot help but give to God praise for what He's done. Imagine if you had been convicted for a crime that you committed, and a person comes along and says, "I've paid the price to set you free." Are you going to stand in the presence of that person in silence? Are you just going to stand there? Not me. I'm going to say, "Thank you. Thank you for what you've done." My heart's going to be uplifted. And I'm going to say to those around me, "You know what He did for me? He ransomed me. He set me free." Because on this road, it concludes. There's not going to be any sorrow. There's not going to be any sighing. It's going to flee. Because the people are so overwhelmed at the freedom in Christ they've been given that the joy is going to overwhelm the sorrow. That's the destination. You and I, we haven't made it to this destination yet. Which means here on this journey, we mourn though as those who, not as those who have no hope. But it does mean that as we continue this journey, the sounds of rejoicing far outshine the sounds of sorrow. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Is your life defined by joy? It's not. There may be something here that you're missing. Maybe something that we're missing. You see, this applies to us, I think, in three different ways. Number one, what this means is that God guides you on this highway. God is guiding you. Psalm 75, 52 and 53 says, "God led out His people like sheep, and He guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety, so that they were not afraid." God guides you on the highway. Number two, God protects you on the highway. God protects you. Bible says, "Do not fear, I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." God guides you, God protects you, and finally, God is to be worshipped upon this highway. 1 Chronicles 16, "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." God guides you, God protects you, and God is to be worshipped upon this highway. Now understand this. Sometimes there are two highways that converge into one highway. When we travel up to the panhandle, we travel on a highway that for a while is Road 287 and Highway 81. Or the exact same road. There comes a time where those two roads will split. They split into two different highways. Martin Luther would talk about the theology of the cross or suffering and the theology of glory. For us to be on this highway indicates that we are traveling a highway that often is described in two different vantage points, from two different vantage points. So number one, as we've been talking about, the highway of holiness. But understand that there is another road, or another identification of that road, that is called the highway of the cross. Now here's what that means. For you and me to travel this highway of holiness right now is for us to simultaneously travel the highway of the cross. It's a highway where you and I have taken up our crosses and committed to follow Christ. And that means that as we walk upon this road, we are going to simultaneously experience the joy of God's promises and the suffering of what it means to be a person of the gospel. Because it means that we have to deny ourselves holiness. It means that we have to live for God. It means that we will face challenges and persecutions and rejections. And we go through seasons of life where what we want to do is we want to cash it all in. And we want to say, this life is too difficult to follow Christ. I don't want to do it anymore. But understand that even as you face the challenges of this highway, God is using those challenges to make you holy. And God is far more interested in your holiness than He is in your happiness. But if you know the holiness of God, you will know the happiness of God. For blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And blessed are those who mourn. And blessed are the meek. You know the way of holiness. You will know the way of joy. So let me ask you, do you see the reality that the road that you are on is demonstrating that to be a follower of Christ is to take up a cross and march to eternity? Do you understand that everything that God is bringing you through, God is doing so that He will develop within you a character that reflects His own? The way of holiness is the cross. The only way you will gain God's favor is to come to the cross. Have you ever came before that cross and said, "Oh Lord, in this moment I'm yielding myself to You. I'm praying for Your salvation. I'm confessing my own sinfulness. And I'm trusting You to save me and to guide me on this road." If you've never had that experience in your life, then I need you to know today, based upon the authority of the Word of God, you're not going to go to heaven. You're just not. That's just what the Bible teaches. If you've never trusted Christ, and ask Him to change your heart, you're not going to heaven. But if you have trusted Christ, you of all people have every reason in the world to be thankful. So what about your cards? Were you thankful this year? Were you thankful? I'm thankful for the opportunity to worship. I'm thankful for the conviction of the Spirit. I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful for the trials. Can you say, I'm thankful for the trials? Today, as we have a hymn of invitation, I just simply want to ask you that. Would you just come before God today, and would you just say thank you? Thank you. Maybe you've already placed your cards up here. Maybe you're sitting there holding your cards in your hand. In just a moment, Dave and Krista and the others are going to come forward and they're going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. And I just wonder how great would it be for this congregation to stand right here, faces turned toward God, and just say thank you. Not asking for anything. Not asking you to take away the trials. Not asking you to make my life more easy. I'm just saying, you've done so much for me. Thank you. Can you do that today? I'm going to pray. After I've prayed, Dave is going to begin to lead us. And as we sing together our hymn of invitation, would you just make your way down here just to say to the Lord, oh God, you never do another thing for me for the rest of my life. You've given me every reason to be thankful for all of eternity. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, fill our hearts with thankfulness for what you have done.
Show to us, O God, the goodness in Jesus Christ that you have given us. Show us, O Father, how you have filled us with your Spirit. You have given us your Word. You have redeemed us. You have ransomed us. And you have set us free. And if you never do another thing for us, may the continual declaration of our heart be to you. Thank you. Thank you, O God. And may that be the prayer of this congregation as we plead that you would draw us near. Near to your heart, O God. In Jesus.